So tonight, we're going to get into the Word, which is why we're here. And we're going to start in 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel 15, and we're going to go to verse 1. I've entitled tonight's teaching, A Tale of Two Kings. And the premise of this is basically about sort of a comparison that we'll see between King Saul and the eventual King David, and some of the lessons we can learn. Okay, so 1 Samuel 15, verse 1, it says, Samuel, who was the prophet at the time, he spoke for God. Samuel also said unto Saul, The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. So basically, God sent me to make you king, and you've been king now, so now listen to God. Verse 2, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go, and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them what?
Not.
That's right, don't spare them. But slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. So God's word, his instruction, was to not spare any, right? To utterly destroy them all. And all means all, every bit of it. Verse 7, we're going to jump to verse 7. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. Alive. That's not utterly destroyed. And utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag. Were they supposed to spare anything? Nope. And the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good. So they spared quite a bit, actually. They spared quite a bit. And would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. And so they made the decision to, they don't destroy all the stuff that's kind of garbage level quality, but they'll keep everything else. Right? And that's not what God told him to do. Verse 10, Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me. And that word repenteth means that God was sorry for the people. He was sorry for Israel. I am sorry for Israel that I have set up Saul to be king. For he is turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Samuel was upset about this because he was the prophet. Right? He was the one who had got the instruction from God originally to anoint Saul. Right? He thought Saul was going to be this king that would take care of Israel, and Samuel loved Israel. So he was very sad that, you know, things had taken this turn. Verse 13. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. Hey, welcome, blessed prophet man. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. I did what you said. Aren't you proud of me? But did he do what he said? He did not. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Well, then how come I hear all this livestock if you did exactly what you were told? And Saul said, Well, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we utterly destroyed. So Saul is now making excuses, right? He's blaming the people for the decision to spare these oxen and these other livestock. And he's saying, well, we did it so that we could make sacrifices to God. That's good, right? That's good. We want to make sacrifices. Verse 16. Then Samuel said to Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said, okay, tell me. Stay on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And that word little there is not like, remember when you were just a short guy, right? That word little there is in terms of humility, right? When you were just, you know, a regular Joe in your own sight, when you weren't this king that you've now become, right? That's when God lifted you up, right? And the meaning there is that he had become, it's a was, right? It's past tense, meaning that he had become prideful. He had gotten to this point where he thought he knew better, right? He was this mighty king. Verse 18. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners of, or the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? How come you did that instead? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Listen, I did what you told me to. Right? So now this is the second time, after being reproved the first time, that he argues, right? That he shows that he is indeed stubborn, that he doesn't want to hear the reproof that this man of God has given him. He's like, no, wait, I did what you said. Verse 21, but the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. I've already explained this to you. I've already told you why we did this. Verse 22, and Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Right? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Right? And so the lesson here is that's not what God told you to do. It's better to obey God and do what he told you to do than, even if you feel like you were sincere about it, try to do something like make sacrifices for God. Even though it seems like that's what God would want or would be the holy thing to do, right? In the end, it's still disobedience to God, right? And God wants you to obey his word more than he wants anything else, right? Verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because, and here's the reason, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Right? And so finally, after a couple arguments, we get to the root cause of the whole matter. The reason that Saul did what he did was because he feared the people and their voice, right? He was afraid that the people were going to be like, what kind of a king makes us kill all this good stuff that we just won in war, right? And so he gave in to the people rather than to what God told him to do. And the end result is what we saw in verse 23, that he is cut off from God. He is cut off from God. God rejects him from being king. And it takes a while for him to lose that kingship. But from this point on, his fellowship with God is broken. Go to chapter 16, verse 1. Chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? So Samuel was upset about this, right? He really was sad that this is how it played out with Saul. But God tells him, you know, time to stop mourning. Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Right? And so God has a plan for the next king. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears, if he finds out that I'm going to anoint a new king, he's going to kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee. No, take some cattle. And say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. So your cover story will be that you're going there to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what you shall do. And you shall anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? Because in those times, like if a man of God showed up on your doorstep, it usually wasn't with great news. Maybe your town was in trouble, right? Or something else was going on. So they're like, why are you here? Verse 5, he said, peaceably, I'm here peaceably, don't worry. I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come, he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. This has got to be the guy. Right? So this is Jesse's oldest son. This has got to be him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, right? Which is his appearance. Look at the way he looks, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on what? The heart. The heart. That's what God cared about, right? That's what God cared about with Saul. He cared about where was Saul's heart. Right? Saul wanted to do what he wanted to do because he feared the people, right? His heart was not obedient. Verse 8, then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. So that's the next son. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this. Nope, that's not him. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. That's the next son. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. So all seven of his older boys are there. They all pass by. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, is this it? Are this all your kids? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. I still have my littlest boy. And behold, he keeps the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we're not going to sit down until he comes. We'll just keep standing here until you give me all of them. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy. And the word ruddy there means healthy or of a handsome complexion. Okay, that's what the word ruddy means. He was handsome. He had a nice complexion. He's a healthy looking kid. And withal of a beautiful countenance. And if you look at the Hebrew there, it's he had beautiful eyes. Isn't that nice? He had beautiful eyes. And goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Okay? And so, this was the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So from that day forward, God placed his Holy Spirit on David. And that is a big deal, right? That's a very, very big deal, right? His outward appearance wasn't half bad, but his heart, that's what God looked upon, was right. And God placed his Holy Spirit on him from that day forward. Verse 17. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man and a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely. He's a good looking guy too. And the Lord is with him. And this, he's describing David, right? Now at this point, David is still a youth. Right? And so when it says here that he was a mighty valiant man and a man of war, it's referring to David's skill, which we'll see later. So there must have been some stories out there about David and his shepherding and the things that he did. But he was a very capable person. He was probably buff, right? He looked like a guy who could fight. Verse 19, wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son to Saul. So he sends them with some gifts. You don't show up to the king empty-handed. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor-bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. So, you know, in this time, the Lord's Spirit is upon David, and he does some pretty impressive things that we'll read about in a little bit. And he ultimately finds favor with the king and becomes his armor bearer. And these are all sort of a result of David finding favor with God. Right? He found favor with God. And we have to contrast that with Saul, right? Saul has fallen out of favor with God. All right. Samuel 17, chapter 17, verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shocho, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shocho and Azekah and Ephizdemim, those places. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. So they are, it's the Philistines versus Israel, right? They're setting the battle in array. And the Philistines stood on the on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. Think about it. Like, you got these two armies. They're standing on mountains across from each other, staring each other down, and there's this valley in the middle. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And that's about 9 3/4 feet tall. So he basically, his head was up to the ceilings in my houses. And he was a big giant man. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head. And he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat of mail was 5,000 shekels of brass. Estimates have that anywhere between 75 and 156 pounds. That's how much his armor weighed, just his chest plate. And he had greaves, or boots, of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, right on his back. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, right? So when you think about a spear that you might hold, You might think of something that's about the diameter of maybe like a baseball bat or something. And this guy's holding a spear, and the diameter of the thing is like a tree trunk, right? Like a small tree out near the backyard. He's just a huge guy. And the spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, about 18 pounds. But just the head of the spear, almost 20 pounds. And one bearing a shield went before him. So here's the picture. It's a giant dude with a lot of armor and some big weapons. And he comes out in verse 8. He stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and you servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and I kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. Like, why do we have to have a big, messy war, right? You pick a guy, I'll fight him, winner takes all. Meanwhile, I'm huge and have big old weapons. Verse 10. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly what?
Afraid.
Afraid. Greatly afraid. So once again, fear is causing a problem for Saul and Israel. Right? Fear caused a problem for Saul when he didn't listen to God and instead listened to the people because he was afraid. And here again, facing down Goliath, he is afraid. He is afraid. Now David was the, verse 12, now David was the son of that Ephraite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. In case you guys forgot about him from the last chapter. And he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man, is of Saul. Speaking of Jesse. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, we met him. And next unto him, Abinadab. And the 3rd was Shammah. And David was the youngest. And the 3 eldest followed Saul. So the brothers are out there. They're out there as part of the army, waiting for instruction to figure out what's going to happen. But David went and returned from Saul, remember he was the armor bearer for a bit, to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. So for 40 days, this big old guy came and made his speech and said, why are we going to fight? Why are we going to have these 2 armies go at it? Just send me 1 guy and we'll settle it mano a mano. So for 40 days, he challenged Israel. Verse 20. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. So Jesse sends his son David out to the battlefield. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. So they are preparing to go to war. They're not going to accept this challenge from Goliath. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. So once again, he speaks the same words he's been speaking for 40 days. But this time, David hears them. Verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, ran away. Run away! and they were sore afraid. Right? So 40 days later, not much has changed. Goliath comes marching out, everyone's scared, and they run away. Verse 25, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, say what now? What did you just say? We get what now if we kill this guy? What shall be done to the man that kills this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? We get how much money? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? That was a man whose heart was for God. Everybody else ran away afraid for 40 days. David said, who's this guy that he's going to take on God? Right? He wasn't looking at it like, who's this guy he's going to take on all of us? He looked at it as, who's this guy who's going to take on God? Right? And that's, he wasn't afraid. Right? Everybody else was afraid, and fear is what got Israel in trouble. But he had confidence in God. And moreover, he had Holy Spirit, right? He had that boldness. Verse 31. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. So he said, listen to what this kid is saying. He told Saul. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Don't be afraid. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. I'll take care of it. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. You're just a kid. And this guy is a man of war since he was a kid. Have you seen him? And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him, the lion and the bear, and smote him. I punched the lion and the bear and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and I punched him again and I slew him. I killed him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living. That was his attitude. He's like, this guy has already dug his own grave by going against God. I'm not afraid. God helped me beat up lions and bears, and he's going to help me beat this guy too. That was the confidence that David had, because his heart was right with God, and he was not afraid. Right? That's the only difference between David and everybody else was that David believed God. Verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass on his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. He said, oh, you're going to need all this stuff then. Mm-hmm. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, I can't go with these, for I have not proved them. I haven't tested these out. I don't know how to use this stuff. And David put them off of him. So he took off all the armor and the sword. And he took his staff in his hand. That he knew how to use. He knew how to use his staff. He's been using it. And chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near to David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. He disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. He was just a little pretty boy. Right? Who is this kid? Little pretty boy who's going to come after me. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? You bring a staff out here? Like I'm some kind of dog? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. So he said, you come fight me, and you're dead meat, basically. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Right? You might come to me with these big old weapons, but I've got God on my side. Verse 46. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and I will take thy head from thee. That's a promise, man. That is, you don't say that unless God has backed it up. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And so he turns Goliath's words back on him. Right? Goliath said, I will feed your body to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. And David says, I'm going to feed your whole entire people to the birds and the beasts. And that's big talk, talking to a 10-foot guy. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. He left those at home. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. Right? And that's where his confidence was. His confidence was in God from the very beginning. And even in all of his big talk, I'm not, you know, listen, I don't have a sword or a spear. It's God who's going to deliver you up. Verse 48, and it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. You just see him running at each other like, ah! And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. And so he slings his slingshot, and God makes sure that his aim is true, and thump, the giant falls down to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Remember what he said. He was going to cut his head off, but he didn't have a sword. Verse 51. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines, the rest of the army, saw that their champion was dead, they hightailed it out of there. They took off and ran. And the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they'll come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim, even to Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines. Once they went and chased after them and killed them, they came back and spoiled their tents. They took everything from the now empty tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. And so he kept Goliath's armor as a prize. Kind of cool. And so, in the end, David is victorious, right? And he goes on to become king of Israel, right? God favored him, gave him Holy Spirit, placed it upon him, and with that confidence that he had in God, he was able to defeat Goliath, and the army prevailed. And we're going to close in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Romans 8, verse 31. And so it's a tale of two different kings and how they approached God and His Word, right? Saul got to the point where he was too prideful and eventually fearful of the people. And he lost that favor with God. He, you know, fell out of fellowship with God, and he eventually loses his life in the kingdom. And David, whose heart was for God, it says that David was a man after God's own heart. He's successful, right? Because he gives all the credit to God. He puts his trust in God. He knows that God's the one who's going to do stuff for him. And he's successful. In Romans 8:31, it says, "What shall then we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Right? And that's the precise attitude that David had. If God is on our side, who's going to be against you? And God's on our side. We're all sons and daughters of God. So we have God on our side. Therefore, there's nothing that can be against us. We just have to have that confidence that David had, and God will take care of us.